Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a glorious Saturday morning. Hello, everyone. I can't say hello. Hello. How are you? I am Tim Murray. I'm great. Live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Busy day ahead. We've got two games on the hardwood, two games on the ice as the playoffs continue. And, of course, a plethora of baseball in your life, some golf. It's a busy Saturday, as it tends to be here in the early portions of May. And we will find out tomorrow the NBA lottery as well. So we got a whole lot to get into as time rolls on. So busy night last night. We will recap that for you here in just a little bit. But we don't like to waste time here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We like to get right into it, get you prepped for the day ahead. So let's do that right now as we set the scene.
Let's dive into the biggest games of the day.
And as I mentioned, two games in the NBA, two games on the ice. Will we see teams on their home floor take care of business? Because last night, they did not. The New York Knicks taking care of business as a dog on the road in Philly, and the Victor Wembanyama-led San Antonio Spurs getting it done last night as well. But will the home squad take care of business tonight? We've got one favorite. We've got one underdog. We'll go in chronological order. 3 p.m. Eastern time. It starts the Detroit Pistons taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And right now the Cavaliers find themselves as 4.5-point favorites against the Detroit Pistons. Pistons taking care of business in game two. That was a spot where, as we watched it, did it look like Pistons would end up getting, or would end up getting the win? They do not. They drop game two, and now they find themselves in that two-game hole. J.B. Bickerstaff, head coach of the Detroit Pistons, on the importance of Tobias Harris. He's been great this postseason, and will he continue his greatness today?
I can't put it into words. I've tried before, but, you know, we're not in this position if it isn't for him. And, you know, not just because of the basketball talent, his leadership, his willingness to show people what preparation looks like. How do you take care of yourself? How do you eat? What do you do in the weight room? Like, how do you work on your game? He's a role model for our guys. And if you don't have that, you know, from your veteran players, it's hard for young guys to grow and grow the right way. And he enabled us to do that.
Tobias Harris, his point total tonight is 18.5, I should say, this afternoon. Tip-off is at 3 o'clock Eastern in Cleveland. He has gone over that listed number 7 consecutive games. So in games 1 and 2 of the Orlando series, 17-16. But since then, just using the number today, 23-20, 23-22, 30, that was the Game 7 performance against the Magic. And in this series, 20-21. So will he continue to thrive in that role? As J.B. Bickerstaff pointed out, he's been great. He's been a vital piece for this Detroit Pistons squad. And then on the flip side, the Cleveland Cavaliers coming off that 107-97 loss, a late turnover by James Harden in a 103-97 game. Donovan Mitchell in game two, he stepped up. He had 31 points in the losing effort. But what's been going on, Donovan Mitchell?
I think the biggest thing starts with just it's self-inflicted. I mean, I feel like it's turnovers. I mean, we won the possession game in a sense, but just like the way we started, I think hasn't been great. And we got to figure that out. I think the turnovers, the little things, little details, and a lot of the stuff is self-inflicted. But we'll get home, we'll clean that up, and go from there.
Donovan Mitchell, 26.5 is his over-under tonight. The biggest point total in the Pistons-Cavaliers game this afternoon is Cade Cunningham, as you would expect, sitting there at 27.5. And the stat that we'll talk about more when my buddy Jonathan Peterlin joins us in the second hour of the show, James Harden. James Harden doing what James Harden tends to do, right? This is his MO. He has, in this postseason, had more turnovers than buckets 4 times. So what will we see from the beard tonight? Will it be another postseason struggle, or will he rise to the occasion? Cavaliers laying 4.5 at home in a desperation spot, down 0-2. Always like to look at the differences between the point spread and the first half and the tax that you have to pay. We've discussed this over the years. In these situations, down 0-2, at home, do you have to pay a first half tax a little bit in this game? Cleveland going off as a 4.5-point favorite. FanDuel has it 3.5 in the first half. Rest of the shops sitting there at 3. So a little bit of a premium, if you will, on that first half number with the desperation on Cleveland's side for this afternoon. Speaking of desperation, not many of us believe that the Los Angeles Lakers had much of a shot to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, especially without Luka Doncic in the lineup. They're 8.5-point underdogs. The Los Angeles Lakers are tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have failed to cover both games so far in this series, even though at different points in time, those games were competitive. Game one goes under the total. Game two goes over the total, 125-107. The big discussion post-game following the Lakers' 125-107 loss on Thursday was the officiating and the calls that the Lakers believed the Oklahoma City Thunder were getting a little bit fortunate of getting. Let's hear from the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, J.J. Redick.
Yeah, I mean, I sarcastically said the other day they were the most disruptive team without fouling. I mean, they have a few guys that foul on every possession, and all the good defenses do. You know, SGA gets like a touch foul, I guess, on the drive. There was a stretch where four straight possessions, our guys got absolutely clobbered trying to make an entry pass to Jackson, and Jalen Williams is grabbing his jersey with both arms. That's a turn. Like, they're hard enough to play. They're hard enough to play. You've got to be able to just call it if they foul, and they do foul.
Well, all of this, I don't want to say complaining. I was complaining. Well, the criticism of the officiating work in the Lakers' favor? Will they get a little bit more friendly whistle? I saw some people say, oh, Scott Foster is definitely going to be the referee tonight in Los Angeles. So the Lakers down 0-2. Is this their best spot to win? Or did that already take place? I think it's a discussion we could have that in game one, the Lakers felt like they had a bunch of opportunities. The Thunder didn't play particularly well. Similarly, in game two, they're up at the half, back and forth in the second half, and then things pull away late there by the Oklahoma City Thunder. What's been interesting, too, about this series is that the role players for Oklahoma City have been emerging. Jared McCain's been hitting big threes off the bench. But Chet Holmgren, you could argue, is the best Thunder player in this series. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 18 points in game one, 22 in game two, way under his player prop in both of these games. Mark Daigneault, the head coach of the Thunder, on his superstar SGA.
How he's responding is how he always responds, which is nothing bothers the guy. He's pretty unflappable. And he understands the nature of these series. You know, quality opponents that are capable of executing a lot of different things. He's the centerpiece of game plans. You know, they're doubling him about as aggressively as we've seen, and as consistently as we've seen. And he just continues to find a blend of his aggression, getting off early, and empowering his teammates, and the way that he's played. You know, even in game one, with the way that he's moving it out of there, that has some effect on their ability to go out there and play the way they did when he was in foul trouble. You know, he deserves some credit for that, with the way that he's empowered the group despite his gravity, you know, as a MVP caliber player. So, you know, that's how I'd grade him out.
Well, and that's the thing, too, about the Oklahoma City Thunder is the depth of this team. And I think most of us knew going into this series without Luka Doncic, there wasn't much of a hope for the Los Angeles Lakers. The question we all had, and we discussed this Tuesday night, myself and Femi Abebefe on VSiN Primetime, was it's not if the Lakers can win the series, it's if the Lakers can win a game. And right now, I think that's a fair question. And when you look at tonight's game, point spread sitting at 8.5, and I alluded to that first half tax you have to pay, in those opening halves. 4.5 is out there at FanDuel. I think that's a fair price for this particular game. And it is worth noting, the Lakers have come out and played well in the opening halves. They were down 61-53 in game one, But that was a cover. First half line in game one was 9.5. And then they led at halftime in game two. So do you get that push of energy from the Los Angeles Lakers tonight in game three, down 0-2 against the Oklahoma City Thunder? Do they get a little bit of a friendly whistle after the discussion and whatever that was with Austin Reeves post-game there? Also on the ice tonight, will we get a sweep with the Carolina Hurricanes? The Hurricanes have not failed to lose. Man, my English is not strong early on a Saturday morning. Have not lost yet in this postseason, as they are minus 185 favorites tonight. They're up 3-0 against the Philadelphia Flyers. All three games in this series have gone to the under. While on the flip side, with the Colorado Avalanche up 2-0 in their series against the Minnesota Wild. If you saw game one, that one went over. Game two, a tough one if you did play the under in that series. But Colorado, they are a minus 130 or so favorite for tonight as they take on the Minnesota Wild. So two games on the ice, two games on the hardwood, plenty of baseball. We'll dive into that as the show goes on. But just a reminder, folks, smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, get our annual subscription, normally $240, for just $199. When you sign up today, we'll actually throw in two extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day. The promo code PRO. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Promo code PRO. About last night. We'll do that next right here on VSiN.
VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning. We got a busy day ahead, but what we like to do here, it is early for us in Las Vegas, might be early for you, wherever you are on this Saturday morning. We always like to recap a little bit of what unfolded the previous evening. Any bad beats, anything of note when it comes to a betting night on a Friday, and you might have been out on the town. No judging here. That's why we're here to recap the evening for you before we push our chips all in, if you will, to look ahead to Saturday's full slate of action. So let's start with the NBA and the Knicks taking care of business 108-94. The market moved from Thursday night, I beg your pardon, to Friday with the news that OG Anunoby would be out for the New York Knicks and that Joel Embiid would play for the Philadelphia 76ers. And in the opening quarter, didn't it feel like, oh, this is going to be your classic team down 0-2, going to take care of business. 31-27 lead for the New York Knicks. Paul George, 15 points in the first quarter. We'll get to that. Disgusting beat that some had to suffer, including maybe someone on staff here at VSiN. 108-94, though, the final score. The Knicks get it done. Jalen Brunson leads the way with 33. Mikal Bridges was awesome with 24 points. The role players for the Knicks continue to rise to the occasion. Let's hear from their head coach, Mike Brown, following a 14-point win.
I would also be wrong if I didn't talk about our bench, in particular two players. I thought Mitch Robinson was huge for us. He was huge. We ran him longer in stretches at times than what we normally do, but he was great in both directions for us. He was big for us throughout the course of the game. And then Landry Shamet. Landry hasn't played a drop ball playoffs. I think the first game he was in the rotation, and then the second game a little bit, and then he was out. And, you know, and there's 6-7 games, whatever it is, that he hasn't seen any significant minutes on the court. And Landry was huge for us tonight. He was huge on both ends of the floor.
Landry Shamet, 15 points off the bench, 26 minutes of action for the Knicks. So the Knicks bench, as Mike Brown alluded to, with Mitchell Robinson playing 19 minutes, the Hack of Mitch, he went 4 of 8 from the free throw line. So I guess Hack of Mitch is not the end of the world if you're able to shoot 50% from the free throw line. But mention Mikal Bridges, he was great in this one, a plus 15, 23 points. Jalen Brunson, awesome as well. So the Knicks get the victory, but when did this go wrong for the Philadelphia 76ers? They jumped out to that big start, and then things kind of fell apart in that second quarter, and that's when Nick Nurse noticed, yeah, this game was lost in that quarter.
It was just a big run of the same thing, us not scoring, them playing in transition, them scoring, us playing against half-court defense, probably about 10 out of first 14 possessions. And it just, they were up the floor in semi-transition and making some good reads and making some shots, obviously. And we just didn't keep the scoreboard moving enough to get our defense set.
So you get the loss, and then there are the bad beats. And someone here, up bright and early, she's always got a great attitude, seemed a little bit down this morning. Alexis behind the scenes, she may or may not have had over 17 and a half on Paul George points last night. So let's walk through what happened with old Playoff P last night. What a first quarter. 15 points, 3 three-pointers. Easy winner, right? You sit back. All right, don't have to worry about that one. This will be an easy victory. Not so fast, my friend. I got my pencil, my Lee Corso pencil here. 0 of 9 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. Not a full-on Orlando Magic disaster, but pretty terrible from Paul George. So let's hear from Paul George following his 15-point performance in a 15-point first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, we're right there. We're just not finishing the game. You know, I think we're right there. We're putting together three great quarters. We're just not closing it out. I think we just got to take it one game at a time. Again, we've been in, you know, position to win these games. Give them credit. They've been huge down the stretch on their end. But, you know, I think the adjustments we can make limit their possessions, their extra and second possessions. Take one game at a time, and, you know, we'll be back in that 3-1 spot where we were, you know, comfortable in the first series, and, you know, try to claw our way back into it.
Positive thinking there from Paul George. As he mentioned, they were down 3-1 against the Boston Celtics. No team in NBA history has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a series, a 7-game series, and they will try to do it. They will try to make history. Color me skeptical that the Philadelphia 76ers can do it. I liked them last night. Got closing line value, and that did me a whole bunch of nothing as the Philadelphia 76ers come up 2 touchdowns short against the New York Knicks. How about Victor Wembanyama last night? 39 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists in the victory for the San Antonio Spurs. On defense, too, he limited Minnesota to 4 of 21 from the field as the contesting defender. He blocked more shots than he allowed makes last night. 5 blocks to just 4 makes. He was the true alien last night. 115-108, the Spurs get the win and the cover. Game goes over the total. De'Aaron Fox and the San Antonio Spurs now up 2-1, bouncing back after dropping game one, and the Spurs seem to be coming to life, figuring things out here this postseason.
I mean, I didn't know that number, but for sure, I mean, you come here, and if you lose this game, now you're looking at game four, and it's like we absolutely have to win this game because you don't want to go down 3-1. And obviously, we've seen, you know, teams come back from down 3-1 in the last couple years more than we had ever seen like last 40 years. Winning this game was extremely important to us because you don't want to have to. That's, you know, your back's against the wall on the road down 2-1.
Sunday night, Minnesota will be a 4.5 or 4-point underdog, depending on where you look. Here at Circa, it's a 4.5 at DraftKings, FanDuel, a bunch of other shops as well. Can Minnesota pull this thing out and get the cover on Sunday? You heard from De'Aaron Fox right there, the desperation that they were going to feel. I think you do get that from Minnesota, looking ahead to Sunday night as a 4.5-point underdog. So that would be the initial look for me, would be looking at Minnesota catching 4.5 at home. But Chris Finch, the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, just where are we at right now as we are down 2-1, Minnesota Timberwolves are?
It was just bad routes. You know, Rudy decides to go under on the flare screen. That was a three. You know, pull in on the pick and roll over help, gave up a three in the corner. You know, just a lot of little things like that just, you know, weren't on point when they needed to be. So.
All right, plain and simple. Chris Finch. Also, some issues with the officiating and Tony Brothers last night. So Minnesota will be dealing with that. Here's the situation that Chris Finch alluded to regarding Tony Brothers. He said, quote, "I wanted the timeout, and I said, I want my 3 seconds back. He clearly heard me. He lost it. Then I went to ask him where the ball was going to be taken in, and he was screaming at me for that. So completely unprofessional behavior by him." Got a lot going on with the post with the officials, don't we? Right now, it is pretty wild to see. But yeah, that was an unusual scene last night. But Minnesota gets the loss, so the Spurs up 2-1, Knicks up 3-0. We'll talk more about the Knicks and their dominant lead right now, up 3-0 with John Yastrzemski when he joins us. On the ice last night, two blowouts. Montreal winning 5-1 over Buffalo as that game goes over the total of 5.5. Empty netter with 4 minutes to go gets that total over. Montreal was a plus 118 dog-ish, as you see right there on the screen. And then the Vegas Golden Knights going to Anaheim. You know, I talked to a bunch of people that I respect their opinion on hockey, and they felt like through the first two games, Vegas was fortunate to be even 1-1 and felt like Anaheim might be the right side for the series. Well, Vegas came out and was dominant last night, winning 6-2. And a late goal in the first period, in the final 10 seconds there for the Golden Knights? Mitch Marner scored a power play goal, and that just kind of locked everything up there for the Vegas Golden Knights. Mitch Marner, a couple of goals, actually a hat trick last night. So what a night it was for Mitch Marner and the Vegas Golden Knights. Keep an eye, though, on Mark Stone, the status of him. Got banged up. We'll keep an eye on that moving forward. But Sunday night will be game number 4 between the Ducks and the Golden Knights. Hey, just a reminder, folks, the sports calendar never stops, and the Sharp plays cover it all. And they've been winning for 15 straight years, all of it documented, logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com. Let's head to the Big Apple. Talk to JJ, John Yastrzemski next.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here. Saturday morning, I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We'll get the latest from behind the counter, Thomas Gable from the Borgata Sportsbook in Atlantic City. He will join us in 15 minutes. We will head to the Big Apple in just a moment. But looking back at last night, we found out, as we anticipated, that OG Anunoby would be out for the New York Knicks. And in his place, we saw a lot of pieces step up to help out, including Mikal Bridges. 23 points last night, plus 15 on the floor. Mike Brown very impressed by what he saw from Bridges stepping up in OG Anunoby's absence.
Obviously, with OG out, we were down a big wing. And so, you know, Mikal had to take that part over. Now, you know, we're not switching Mikal necessarily on Embiid, but if it happens, he's just got to play him without fouling. And Mikal did a lot of good tonight defensively, no matter who he guarded. And he was big in helping us get the win because of it.
3-0 now for the New York Knicks. Jubilation for those in the Big Apple, including our next guest. He is the host of the New York, New York podcast and also part of the VSiN team. He'll be on Live Bet Saturday later today at 3 p.m. Eastern, and they'll be hosting this very program tomorrow, the VSiN Weekend Morning Line with Will Hill. It is JJ. John Yastrzemski joins us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. And JJ, no OG Anunoby. The importance of OG is just enormous. But what did you make of not only Mikal Bridges, but the other role pieces, whether it be Landry Shamet coming off the bench, for this Knicks team to take care of business and now have an opportunity to go for a sweep on Mother's Day?
Well, Timmy, I'm fired up about it. I did not think the Knicks were going to win game three. You mentioned OG Anunoby, how important he is. So how do you go and beat the Sixers comfortably? You go and get monster minutes out of your bench. And Landry Shamet was the start of game. The guy was 5 of 6 from the field. He's knocking down a couple of threes. He's giving you a major boost offensively. I mean, there was a point in the game where I think the Knicks bench had outscored the Philly bench 24-25-0. And that's the problem the Sixers are running into in this series. They don't have the bodies. The bodies they have are not 100% right. And Knicks, to their credit, are taking advantage of that. So you got another big game out of Bridges, Shamet coming off the bench, and that's how, hey, you end up with a shocker, because I thought going into game three, Philly with a better effort in game two, back at home, no Anunoby, this got to be the game they win. Think again.
Yeah, so sticking with OG and the hamstring, and I know the reports were that it wasn't a very serious hamstring injury. What's your kind of feel on the significance and the severity of this injury? Because every time I feel like we hear about a hamstring injury, it ends up being worse than we anticipate. So what have we heard? Where are you on Anunoby's status? Do you expect him to play tomorrow? When do you think he'll be back? Because, you know, when you hear hamstring, I know everyone in New York probably, you know, their heart skipped a beat here. So where are we on OG Anunoby moving forward?
Well, I definitely don't expect him to play game four. There's no reason for him to play game four with the Knicks up 3-0 in this series. They're already one game through without him. They don't. To me, the earliest you would see OG Anunoby is like a game six if Philly was to go and win the next two games of the series. I mean, I think he's going to play, it seems like, and I'm not a doctor. I'm going to just try to pretend to be one with you right now as we speak. The sense I get, though, from a lot of the Knicks people that you talk to, basically they avoided the worst-case scenario. But you know these hamstrings are tricky. That's why any extra rest you can get this guy between now and the Eastern Conference Finals, you got to do it. So I hope the Knicks take care of the series, obviously, in four. I think that goes for all New York City. But I don't think you'd see him unless this series got really, really dicey.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 Eastern in Philly. Right now, Philly, a slight home underdog. They went off as a pretty significant favorite. I guess significant's a little strong. Went off as a 3.5-point favorite in game number three. So as we look ahead to tomorrow, total sitting at 212.5. John Yastrzemski joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. New York, New York is his podcast. You can catch it on YouTube, and he's a part of the VSiN network. He'll be with us later today. What do you make of tomorrow? Do you anticipate at this point, are the Sixers done, or do we expect the Sixers to show a little bit of life and this thing to head back to Madison Square Garden on Tuesday?
Tim, I kind of get the sense the Sixers are drawn dead here. That's my feeling on it. I mentioned the lack of depth they have. You have no idea what kind of shape you're going to get Embiid in for this game. And, you know, we've seen with Paul George the last two games of this series, he gets off to these rocking starts, and then you hit the second half of the game and he's got nothing left. I just can't imagine Philly having the fight and the wherewithal to say, yeah, we're going to win this game and get it back to Madison Square Garden for game five. I just think they gave their best punch in each of the last two games of this series. We saw it in game two, where they were neck and neck with the Knicks. We saw it with the fast start in game three, and even fighting back in the third quarter, they had no answers in the fourth quarter. I get the sense Philadelphia is in 1-2-3 Cancun mode. That's my read.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. It's funny. I'm curious. I imagine Knicks fans, part of them wanted to get back to the Garden on Tuesday night and celebrate there, but also, how about sweeping Philly and having extra rest for the Eastern Conference Finals? You know, I remember, JJ, watching a clip of yours. You were on SNY, and I think it was either after game two or game three of the Hawks series. You know, a lot of criticism for Mike Brown and his, you know, end-of-game tactics. What has changed, in your opinion, since that game three loss in Atlanta? This team is 6-0. Straight up, 5-1 against the spread. The only non-cover was that game two win against the Sixers when the number, I think, ballooned out to around 10 or so. Sixers lost that game by six. But put your finger on the pulse here. What has changed since those two losses? We had Sal Licata, you know, a colleague of yours on VSiN Primetime, I think heading into game three. He said, you can't trust this Knicks team. What has changed here in these last six games?
I think it's pretty simple. They've done a better job of moving the basketball. And in game two and game three of that Atlanta series, I think they were way too Brunson reliant. And this is where you got to give Mike Brown credit. I gave him a lot of crap, rightfully so. I didn't think he coached a good game two when the Knicks choked. I didn't think he coached a good game three when the Knicks couldn't get a final shot off at the end of the game. They made the adjustment to put Karl Anthony Towns at the top of the three-point line and use him far more as a distributor and run the offense through Towns. I think that has been an enormous, enormous difference here, you know, because it is giving you better fluidity within the offense. It's giving you better ball movement. You've gotten better Jalen Brunson, and it's kind of stressed this idea of balance, which, Tim, is where this Knicks team is at their very best. They're at their very best when all five of their starters are in double figures. They're moving the basketball. That's what we've seen, and the defense is taking up a major, major notch, and you know, Bridges and Anunoby are a huge, huge part of that. And listen, Bridges is another one of these guys. It's given him a hard time at the start of this postseason. His last four games have been absolutely exquisite. So that's the pathway for the Knicks. Hey, if they want to go and have a puncher's chance, not just of winning the Eastern Conference, where they're favored to do so, to go and challenge whoever's going to come out of the West, that's their pathway for doing so.
John Yastrzemski joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. He'll be co-hosting Live Bet Saturday later today, 3 p.m. Eastern, and then tomorrow morning this program, he'll be riding shotgun on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. JJ, before I let you run, you're a big Yankees guy. Obviously, you cover all things New York sports. Last night, I mean, watching Jacob Mizorowski was just unbelievable, to say the least, with a 103-mile-an-hour fastball. But let's spin it ahead to today in Milwaukee off that loss. Cam Schlittler, what should we expect from him? Entering today, he is your betting favorite to win the AL Cy Young.
Crazy to talk about, crazy to think about, but he's been absolutely remarkable. The stuff is nasty. The attitude works. And, you know, you saw Mizorowski throwing like 103, 104, 105, doing it like 20 or 30 consecutive pitches. Cam Schwitler is a showman. He watched that in the dugout last night. I think he's going to be like, all right, big boy, this is what I got in store. I think it's a good time to take the Yankees. The only thing is, hey, the Yankees, they've won all these games against these sub-500 opponents. The Yankees do the slip up here and lose a series, so don't be surprised if that happens in Milwaukee. That said, I do like them today with Schwitler.
Yeah, around the $1.40 favorite or so, Yankees, Cam Schlittler on the hill. And I'm sure JJ and Will Hill will preview that for you later on today. John, always appreciate it, man. Pumped that you're part of our team now, and I'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, Timmy. Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
There he is, John Yastrzemski, part of the VSiN team now. You can catch him on SNY up there in New York and check out his podcast, New York, New York. He's got a breakdown of what we saw last night as the New York Knicks took a 3-0 series lead. And he said he feels like it might be 1-2-3 Cancun for the Philadelphia 76ers. It is kind of interesting to note. Game three closed 3.5 in favor of the Sixers. And now, after a game three loss, they're back to the underdog role. How is the betting market shaping those games up for Sunday as well as Saturday? Fortunate for us, we'll go behind the counter next. Thomas Gable from the Borgata in Atlantic City. It is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning. Busy day ahead as they all are busy days moving forward. And I know there's a lot of optimism for fan bases out there as we get the NBA draft lottery. That'll be on Sunday. Very highly anticipated day for a number of fan bases. But a handful of other fan bases still excited about what is going on. Not so much in Philadelphia, which is where we head sort of right now. Let's get the latest from behind the counter with our good friend, Thomas Gable.
Where are the lines changing? And where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Thomas Gable, the man who runs things at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Always love getting his perspective. We talked to him a ton during college basketball season. And right now with Philly down 3-0 in the NBA and down 3-0 on the ice, how are the patrons in Atlantic City dealing with the struggles of the Flyers and the Sixers, Thomas?
And not to mention the Phillies, too. Who
are they still playing baseball?
Five games under 500. So, things are not looking good in the city of brotherly love. I guess people are still waiting on pins and needles for training camp to start for the Eagles. But, it's with both teams being down 3-0, obviously the Flyers could be the end for them here today against the Hurricanes this evening. Hurricanes $1.90 favorite tonight to end things. And I mean, the Flyers, look, I think this was a pleasant surprise for that fan base this season. Not really expecting necessarily a playoff push. They got in late to the Eastern Conference playoffs, and that series with Pittsburgh in the first round, I thought, it really was closer to a pick 'em than really was being made. But Flyers came out, give them credit. They won that series. But, I mean, going up against just the top team here in the East in Carolina was a tough task. It didn't matter if it was going to be Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. Whichever team advanced out of that first round was going to have a uphill battle here against Carolina. And the Flyers just too young, too inexperienced, not good enough on the power play, and Hurricanes are showing what they can do to a team like that. So Flyer season could be over, and then tomorrow afternoon, Sixers could be following suit after last night there. You saw the move. When OG Anunoby was ruled out and Embiid looked like he was going to come in, and you saw the point spread move slightly there towards the Sixers, and obviously did not work out. They got off to a decent start in the game, but I really thought this series, I was hoping for, at least for us, because we also get such strong New York money here,
right,
this series would go six or seven games, and I was expecting to write a lot on each game. It looks like we're going to get a short series here, unfortunately. But, game one, Sixers, they were in a tough spot there in game one.
Yeah.
They were coming off that very emotional Boston series, short rest, and just got blown out. But game two, even without Embiid, gave a great effort. We're winning going into the fourth quarter. Give the Knicks credit. They were able to put that game away. But last night, just, New York has really kind of turned the page here, I think. Coming into the playoffs this year, even before the first round started, there was sort of this, a little bit nervous energy around New York and whether this could really be the year for them. And even going into that Atlanta series, especially the way that Atlanta series started, that kind of got it ratcheted up, the nervousness there. But the Knicks were able to really come on strong there. Obviously, were playing great at the end of that series, carried over to the beginning of the Philadelphia series. They were shooting lights out. The offense was just clicking on all cylinders. So you kind of knew in game two of this series, all right, Knicks shooting may regress a little bit. That did happen. You figured the Sixers' legs may get under them. That did happen. But Knicks stayed in control, and then last night were able to just put the foot on the throat for the Philadelphia fan base, and that was it. So I don't know if the Sixers can even pull out a game here. Maybe they do, but it's give the Knicks a lot of credit, and the fact that they're dealing with injuries themselves, obviously they have the stronger bench out of the two teams, but if they can get this series over with early, very beneficial for them, and getting some more rest as the Pistons and Cavs continue to do battle.
Talking to Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line, giving us the latest from behind the counter. You mentioned it from a proximity standpoint. You get a lot of New York traffic, a lot of Philadelphia traffic being there in Atlantic City. Where are you guys on liability from the New York Knicks standpoint, seemingly looking like they will win this series and they will be the favorite against whoever emerges out of the Pistons and Cavaliers series?
Yes. So right now you're laying $1.15 for the Knicks to win the Eastern Conference. And we're in good shape on them in that market. We actually are in very good shape on the Knicks. But when you get into the NBA title perspective, that's where the liability is come in. Knicks, if you just look even at the ticket count, just dramatically, I mean, they have so many more tickets written on them to win the title. Lesser amounts, but there's definitely liability on them to win the title. So for the Eastern Conference, we're in good shape, though, no matter who they play, whether it's the Cavs or the Pistons. Obviously, the Pistons looking like they're in the driver's seat right now going into today's game. But, yeah, it's really the liability comes when you look at the NBA title picture. Now, obviously, if the Knicks do get there, whether it's OKC, maybe it's the Spurs coming out of the West, they're probably going to be dogs to both. So we're actually going to probably be rooting for the Western Conference champion there if the Knicks do get to the NBA Finals.
You know, Thomas, that was what my curiosity was, and I've asked this to different, you know, odds makers over the years. When you have a team like Oklahoma City who is around even money or odds on during the regular season, and you think back to those Warriors teams in the, you know, 2016-2017 range, people don't like to bet those teams necessarily in the futures market, at least your casual fans, right? You mentioned it.
Yeah.
You know, your clients are going to come in, hey, $20 on the Knicks, $30 on the Knicks to win the title. I get a big return. How big of a winner would it be for you guys right now if the Thunder win the title?
They're actually one of our best case scenarios for the teams that are remaining. So them, Cavs were in great shape on. Obviously, we'll throw out the Sixers. I mean, they're a huge liability there. But honestly, OKC's looking like our best option going into for that market for the NBA title. So they're a great result for us as well to come out of the West. We do have a little bit of liability on San Antonio in the West. And honestly, those are the two best teams. San Antonio, you saw that they could play with Oklahoma City, at least in the regular season. And if Wemby plays like he did last night, you know, that could be a very interesting series there. If San Antonio advances, obviously OKC also in the driver's seat against the Lakers right now. But right now, OKC is a great result for us, both in the West and for the championship.
Thomas Cable, Racing Sportsbook Director from the Borgata in Atlantic City. We got about 90 seconds here. Let's run through the two games today. Detroit-Cleveland, 4.5 out there in the market. Cleveland, a favorite, down 0-2. Lakers catching 8.5 at home. How are you guys shaping up for the two games on the hardwood today?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to get much Laker backing against the Thunder. The early money's been all on Oklahoma City, and people have not been shy about laying 17.5 when Oklahoma City was at home. So the early money here, they're not shy about laying 8.5 either. And for the first game there, Pistons, Cavs, it does look like people are trying to bet Cleveland here and, you know, thinking that there might be a little bit of a bounce back spot for Cleveland now that the series has shifted, that they have home court now. But Pistons held serve at home. That's what they need to do. So if they can take one of these in Cleveland, Pistons will very much be in control.
Thomas, always appreciate it. And counting down the days until college football. And then before we know it, college basketball will be on our minds. So always appreciate your insight, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
There he is, Thomas Gable, our good friend from the Borgata in Atlantic City. Yeah, you know, he's in a unique spot for those of you who know the geography of Atlantic City, not too far from New York, pretty close to Philadelphia. So he's got plenty of clientele coming in from those two respective spots. And I think he's probably a bit bummed, as he alluded to, that this isn't going to be, so it would seem, a long series between the Sixers and the New York Knicks. Two games today in the NBA, Detroit and Cleveland, Oklahoma City, and the Los Angeles Lakers. The question has always been, Can the Lakers not win the series, but win a game? Would that be tonight? We'll dive into that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.